I heard myself on that thing once. I didn't like it. Yeah. I don't know where this twang come from when you hear it on a tape recorder, but you get one.
Sure does make the sound country, don't it?
Yeah, it really does. It really does. I guess I've been called country once before. Whenever I was in high school, I had to go to R.L. Turner up in Carrollton for about 2 weeks. And they said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Well, about 40 miles east of here." "Why?" "You sure talk weird." Well, I was thinking the same thing about y'all, so we're even, you know? But one thing we can talk about is God.
Amen.
And I enjoy it. I appreciate the opportunity to preach. I do get nervous, and it shows. But anytime I preach the Word of God, I get nervous. And I think most pastors do.
Yep.
And a man of God does not want to lead anyone wrong. And that's, I pray I don't. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning. And let's start out with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for this opportunity to present your word, Lord. We pray that we would do it in the way that you want it done and to honor you and to glorify you, Lord. We want to do nothing in our own. And Lord, we thank you for this old-time religion that we got. We can preach. Thank you for this old-fashioned Bible, they call it, for a new-fashioned world. Thank you for this, and I thank you for these people that come to hear your word this morning. They just love you, Lord. And I just pray that you'd be with me throughout this message and be with the folks out here. Let them hear your word, Lord. Let them soak in this morning. And Lord, just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, like I say, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And, you know, Pastor, he'll, like, when he preaches, he sends me a scripture and a subject. And we kind of pick something to go along with that. And I gave him mine last night, and I told him what scripture, but I think I kind of missed it, Pastor.
It's all right.
You know, I got to reading some more about it in chapter 6, and I was going to just do one or two verses. But let's go to verse 1. "Dare any of you, having matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother, goeth to the law with brother, that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brother. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Amen of that.
Amen.
Well, Paul here, he was talking to the church of Corinth, and it seemed like the church of Corinth was having little difficulties within themselves. You know, they was just picking at each other. They were just picking at each other, and they were judging things that shouldn't have been judging. You know, God tells us over in chapter 5, Paul tells us in chapter 5 that, you know, let God judge the unbelievers.
Amen.
Well, you got this church of Corinth is full of just what they said, what they called them, revilers, drunkards, things like that. So Corinth was a port city, And so they had two ports in that city. So you had a lot of income of people, influx of people. You have a lot of sailors, and we know the reputation sailors have, you know. And so this had a lot of sin, a lot of sinners. And so when you have that type of city, you're going to have that. And this church was made up a lot of people that was in that. Just like most churches are messed up, okay? Well, they're made up of people that are messed up. At one time or another, we were these people here. Yeah. I was a drunkard. Ain't no telling what else I fit in that bill, brother. You know? And that's what was going on in this church. They were kind of sliding back to the old way of life. You know, I've done that. You know, and it's not a good place to be, especially if you're a man of God or a person of God. It don't matter. If you're a Christian, that's not a good place to be.
Amen.
You don't want to be back the old man. God sets you apart for a reason. You accept Jesus Christ for a reason, and that's not to go back to the old way. You know, and we can't do things on our own. But Paul's getting on with this church, and like I said, it's a bunch of messed up people. They had to come to the point that they were messed up. I had to come to the point that I was messed up and needed Jesus Christ. Just like each and every one of us here. You know, I never in my life would have thought I needed Jesus Christ in my life. I had everything going for me in my life until Jesus entered. And thank God he did. You know, that's when we start living. But anyway, we get back to these church at Corinth. You know, they were judging the unsaved for their sins, and they were doing the same thing that they were doing. You know, and that's the problem with a lot of churches nowadays. You know, people call themselves Christian, and you know, they'll shout hallelujah, amen on Sunday morning. And I ain't going to tell you what they shout on Monday morning when you have to get up and go to work. And people are like that. You know, everybody probably knows someone like that. And you pray for them. You talk to them. I got a man right now that told me how great a Christian he is. And then the text he sent me was not very great for a Christian. He's confused. And I think a lot of people get confused today. I think this church at Corinth was confused at what they were supposed to be doing. They were supposed to be spreading the word of God. They were supposed to be loving each other. But yet they were condemning each other, you know. But they were like that. That's the way they used to be, you know. And then it goes on to say, forgive these notes. Here we go again. I get lost on notes, okay? Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I wrote them twice. I got me some little bitty paper, Pastor, so I wouldn't have big notes up here. Yeah. Wouldn't be fumbling with paper. I can't read it. So I wrote it on bigger paper, and I get all tongue-tied. But Christians are supposed to care for each other.
Yes.
You know, we see a Christian that is not doing as they should. Mm-hmm. We don't condemn them. We help them.
That's right.
We tell them. You tell them with love, you know. A lot of people take it out of context. You know, they think you're judging them, but that's not it. If you're doing it with Christ's love in you, they can say you're judging all you want, but that's not it. You want to see them back on track with God.
Amen.
You know, these people here, they wasn't on track with him. And Paul, you know, he had the love of Christ. He told these people, and they listened to him. You know, that's one thing. They knew that he was a man of God. They knew that God would tell him things. And they were doing wrong, and they would listen to him. They didn't get mad at him. I'm sure some of them did. I would have. You know, don't tell me what I'm doing wrong. That's the human side of us. But if we have that love of Christ in us, we're going to take chastisement, I guess you'd call it.
That's right.
You know, but we're supposed to take each other. That's what we do. We look after one another. We judge what is right is right in church. We don't pass judgment. We just judge what is right. If somebody is sinning, we let them know. You know, that's our job. But the Church of Christ was worrying about everything outside. The revilers, the drunkards, they was tired of them, I guess, you know, coming through their city. What's the church made up of?
That's right.
Same thing. We all have a past, you know. Very few people were raised in a godly home that I know. I'm not saying they don't. And so a lot of people I know, they have a past, and it had nothing to do with God or Christ. You know, I'm envious of those that didn't come up through the ranks like some of us. But these people were condemning them, judging them to condemnation. We can't do that. That's God's job. Tells us in fact, chapter 5, that is God's job to pass judgment,
amen.
Not ours.
Amen.
You know. Look at verse 11. And such were some of you. Paul is telling them, y'all were like that. That's y'all. And such were some of you. Same way with y'all. And such were some of you. Some of us. We were like that. But we're not like that no more. Why? Because we've been washed in the blood.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if we hadn't... Let me ask something. When you wash your hands, why do you wash your hands? To clean them. Why do you take a bath? To clean your body. Why do you get washed by the blood? To get rid of sin.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we do. Christ washed us. That's how we get away from being the reviler, the drunkard, and all these that he's listed here. You know, that's a very good list of what we were, what I was, what a lot of us are. You know, he says, and such were some of you. He's talking to me. And such was I. But such were some of y'all. You know, we don't get to it. But thank God, we don't have to live in it the rest of our life.
Amen.
You know, number one, we get washed by the blood. Washing cleanses us. You know, like I say, washing our hands cleanses us from dirt and filth. You know, we wash to cleanse ourselves. We're no longer like the filthy rags. We've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look what else he says. He says, but you were, some of you, but ye are washed, but you are sanctified. Oh, man. We were set, once we accept Christ, we're set apart for a specific purpose for God. You know, maybe we need to find what that specific purpose is, but we are sanctified. We are set apart. You know, we're called a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. There was a time in my life when somebody called me peculiar, I'd want to fight them. You know, but now when somebody says you're peculiar, I'd say, thank God.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, y'all better be glad too. But we are. We're set apart. We're different. And then we're justified. What is that? What does justified mean? Well, for one, I was always told justified, never sinned. I thought, well, that's pretty good. You know, so if we're justified, we're exonerated from what we were? You know, I guess in the legal court, if you're justified, you're not set free. I'm trying to think of the word. I don't know the legal jargon for for that. But, you know, if you're justified, you're taken care of, I guess you call it, let go. You know, I don't know much about that, but I know God justified me.
Amen.
Justified my sins. You know, I was washed by the blood, sanctified, justified, because I was one of those. And such were some of you. Such were I. So am I. I don't want to be that no more. I didn't want to be that no more. God came into my life and set everything straight for me. We tend to slide back sometimes, tend to forget what God's done for us. But if we think, you know, God tells us not to dwell on our past, but we bring it back to remind us of where we're at now. Sometimes we have to be reminded of our past, of what we've been brought out of. Not for glory. You don't remember your past to glorify it. You remember your past to glorify God now for what He's done for you. For Him washing you. For Him sanctifying you. For Him justifying you. Sometimes we was talking about Sunday school, about that wine press, and it running over. Have you ever got filled with the Holy Spirit and it just run over?
Amen.
You know, that's great, isn't it? It feels good, doesn't it?
Amen.
That's what I enjoy. That's what I love. That's what being washed in the blood does. We have the Holy Spirit within us. You know. Pastor, it's a short sermon this morning. But I just can't get over what He's done for my life. You know, I'm not going to say I was a bad guy. But I was not a good guy. You know, there's some still can't believe I'm saved now. I met a guy that I graduated with Friday. And he said, "What are you doing nowadays?" I said, "Well, I work for school and I'm associate pastor of church." He said, "What?" You know, I told him, I said, "Well, it's only been 45 years since we've seen each other, so yeah, it happens, you know." And I'm so thankful. I love to witness for God. We should all love to witness for God. We should be able to tell people about the washing of Christ, God's blood for us. We should be able to tell them about being sanctified and justified. If we've been brought out of something, we need to give God the glory.
Amen.
We need to let people know what He's done for our lives.
Right.
These people at Corinth, they were judging people for the same thing they'd done. This is what we can't do. I tend to do, when I see somebody doing what I used to do, I think, how stupid. To me, that's judging them. We pray for them. We teach them. We talk to them. We let them know there's another way out there. And there is. Let's stand. I know it's a short message, and I'm sorry. I'm not a long-winded person. Well, that's debatable, okay? That is debatable, but sometimes the Word of God don't have to be long.
That's right.
You just got to get your point across. And this morning I want to pray for each and every one of you. And I would ask that you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning as Miss Letty plays the piano quietly. Lord, we thank you so much for this day.
Yes.
We thank you for everything you've done for us. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord. I know I'm not long, but Lord, I hope that what I say is the truth and the point is there. Lord, I pray so much if there's somebody here this morning that don't know you as their Savior, that they would come to know you. They would not walk out of these doors without knowing you as their Savior this morning, Lord. Lord, it's such a good life living for you. I couldn't see any other way anymore. And Lord, to just to be joined with you. Lord, I'm going to ask this morning, if somebody needs prayer, just raise your hand. And we'll pray for you this morning. This altar's open so you can come down and pray. Somebody can pray with you. Just come on down anytime. It's open. Lord, if there's one that wants to be saved this morning, bring them down there. Lord, if there's one that wants to come join our church this morning, let that be this morning, Lord. Lord, we just ask for your blessings upon our church, upon our pastor, and each member here this morning, Lord. Watch over them. And let us be a shining light for you as we should be.
Yes.
Everything we do, Lord, let's do it for you. Just to glorify you. Lord, we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor.